Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
What's going on, man? It's the weekend. We appreciate you being with us. We hope you have a great one. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. It's the best damn sports talk in the Carolinas. The best damn listening audience in all of sports radio. Though I will say I was a little bit offended because Smoke said somebody on the text line challenged me to name 338 special songs. As if, first of all, I'm sitting behind a computer. I could cheat you and Google them if I wanted to. But I understand the challenge, too, because most people know I'm in my 30s. You probably don't believe that I listen to a ton of 38 special. Maybe that's where the question's coming from. I don't know. But my dad's coming up in 40 minutes. He will attest to all of it. You know, that's where I got my taste for Southern rock music, like a lot of you, from my dad. So when you start talking about, well, name 38 special songs, you mean sing them for you, too? Because Smoke and I were in here just belting out Hold On Loosely during the break, and it was beautiful. You mean sing Caught Up In You? Is that what you'd like for me to do live on the air to prove that I know some 38 special songs? Come on, bro. Come on. I used to ride around an old Ford Bronco, too, with that man, listening to every Skinner 38 special and Marshall Tucker and Allman Brothers songs that existed.
Got one more song to go.
Which one?
Oh, for 38 special.
Oh.
I'll mention one more, and you'll achieve the accomplishment.
Like No Other Night. Second Chance. Rocking Into the Night. Teacher, Teacher. I can keep going here, man. Like, it's... Yeah, it is. I mean, this is easy to do, dude. But I love the question where the guy was like, hey, Russian here, what is Southern rock? And I mean, it's just, it's not easy like anything else in music to define, but you kind of know it when you hear it. Anyway, we're also talking about the all-time greats. I can't believe he didn't make it list. As the draft is a week away, we do this every year. Every time there's a draft, we're picking our favorites, who we want Carolina to take, who we want the Hornets to take, trying to predict who the next great players in the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, who they'll be in college football. So your all-time submissions of, I can't believe he didn't make it. Eric's on the phone lines. He's been waiting patiently. Eric, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing well.
All right. I love your show.
Thank you.
I am from Kannapolis, and I am a Kannapolock. And the last caller pretty much touched on most of what I was going to say, but I do want to reiterate that the trauma from Dale Jr.'s dad passing away and then the trauma from everything that went on with Teresa and leaving DEI and then living in the shadow of Jimmy Johnson really played a big role in that. But I think he has played a huge role in the growth of NASCAR and the maturation of NASCAR, as well as a car owner. So I don't think he can be called a bust by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, I'm fine with that argument, but we have to back up. Did you just call yourself a Kannapolock a minute ago?
I did. That's what we are here in Kannapolis.
is that a broad thing that people do, or did you come up with that?
I've done it my whole life. Several of my friends have. I don't know how widespread it is, but that's what we are.
That's fantastic, Eric. That made my day. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the phone call. I'm not even sure I'm allowed to say that. That might be a microaggression, according to HR. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, let's avoid that. But to his point, I do think Dale Jr., and it's going to sting this year not having him on the NBC broadcast because he's no longer under contract with him as of this moment unless he wants to just have a one-year deal. He's moving to Amazon and Turner next year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So he's not going to be doing NBC broadcast this year, but he has essentially become the modern-day version of Benny Parsons in a lot of ways, in the best way possible.
Okay.
And a little bit more outspoken, too. I don't know if you remember watching Benny Parsons do broadcast for ESPN and Turner during the days, but
yeah,
Benny Parsons was always one of the most lovable guys. Everyone loved Benny. People forget Benny actually was a former NASCAR driver and a champion, too, in NASCAR. But he's essentially become the modern-day version of that, except with a podcast.
All right. DJ says a local one, Chris Leak, maybe in today's NFL. We brought him up when Nate Wimberly was in studio. Nate liked that one. I think it's a good one, too. I do. Tim Tebow, speaking of Florida, Tim Tebow's come up a lot. You know, in terms of, I guess you cringed when I said that.
I didn't even think he was going to be special in the NFL.
I didn't think he'd be a first rounder.
No.
I don't think any of us really thought that. Butters hit us with maybe my favorite one so far. Butters said, I was 100% convinced Kyle Allen was our future, which is just such a beautiful text. Because of all my years here on FNZ, when I look back, when I'm old and gray and sitting on a rocking chair on a front porch somewhere, and thinking about my time at FNZ, I think I will always remember the 3 months of people absolutely going at each other's throats over Cam Newton and Kyle Allen, and the Kyle Allen Brigade just saturating our airwaves and our phone lines with this guy is the heir apparent, this guy is replacing Cam Newton, Kyle Allen is the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. I will never forget those conversations.
Yeah, he in a lot of ways was just exactly like Matt Moore in 2009. I thought Matt Moore was going to be the guy.
Ooh.
Franchise quarterback, let's go after the 09 season.
Say it, Smoke.
Oh, man, I was so excited after that Vikings win, the massacre at the Meadowlands against the Giants, the win over the Saints, even though the Saints weren't playing most of their starters because they had the number one seed locked up. I had it ready, and then I thought it was even better. I didn't know if he was going to be a long-term guy, but once they drafted Jimmy Clausen, it's like, we got our franchise quarterback. Let's go.
One thing I am surprised about on the text line today is how many people have said MKG? Right, exactly. Your face tells the entire story. People can't see it, but really? Like the disappointment of not landing Anthony Davis and the broad skepticism that MKG could learn to shoot, despite that, you still thought that he was going to reach superstardom, huh?
Now, that was not actually going to be the most hated pick. The most hated pick, if that were to happen, I remember so many people saying, if they flip and draft Harrison Barnes, because they got it in their mind thinking just because of one draft, not 7 years prior to that, they thought, oh, they're going to draft Harrison Barnes. But hindsight being 2020, Harrison Barnes would have been one of the better picks they could have made outside of Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. I mean, Harrison Barnes, I saw someone mention Harrison Barnes earlier. That was a great, because he was one of the biggest recruits ever, it felt like, in high school basketball. And it felt like he was going to be the next superstar. Didn't live up quite to the hype at UNC and never really lived up to the hype in Golden State, but he's had a really good career.
Oh, no, he absolutely has. He has. Now, here's one that you'll both love and hate. Market size matters, says Lindale White, because I know you hated that USC team.
Okay, I did expect him to do
that. But I thought Lindale White would be much more productive in the NFL than he was. I don't know that I ever thought he'd be a superstar. I remember sitting there watching his name be called on draft. Where was he drafted? Second round?
Yeah, he was a second round pick by Tennessee because Tennessee got Vince Young in the first round.
That's right. And they paired him with Lindale White, and everybody's like, oh, my God, look at what Tennessee's about to do. And it just never worked out. Never worked out at all. Now, AJ, we got more of the Kyle Allen stuff coming in. AJ just hit me with a text. He said, hey, I was in Houston when Kyle Allen ducked JJ and hit Kurt for the game-winning first down on top of a great game. He's proven more at this level than the almighty Bryce. And then he says, Kyle Allen is greater than Bryce Young, is all I'm saying. Prove me wrong with the film. Okay. Well, I can't because I don't have the film in front of me. I also don't want to go back and watch it, so we're never going to do that. But there were some games there, right? I remember doing some of those. I think it was the Houston game. I think we were doing the pregame show that day from 4001 Yancey down in South End. Is that South End or Loso at this point? I'm not sure. Maybe the South End folks can remind me. The Brewers at 4001 Yancey. I don't know if that's South End or Loso at this point. But I think Roman Harper was with us that day. We were doing a pregame show that morning, had a beautiful brunch spread in front of us. And I remember all of us thinking that they could go down there and win that game. And by God, they did. And Kyle Allen did make some nice throws. He did have a couple of, you know, really nice outings and made a couple of throws that made you say, huh, okay. Yeah. But then once enough tape got out there, we saw what he really was.
He also had a little bit of Tony Banks syndrome. He had a lot of fumble-itis for a quarterback. That ball did not hang on to his hand that hard. Like, it was not that hard to rip the ball out of his hand, especially when it was a blindside sack. So that didn't really help things either.
Yeah.
And that Texans game actually was the first signs of fumble-itis and Tony Banks syndrome, which, yes, I've gotten a Tony Banks reference in today.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Panther Cliff says Kyle Allen was the effing QB at the London game, KB. I know. I was there. I was there. I saw it in person. And then we have these. I expected these texts. Steven says, what the hell is Loso? Aaron in Mallard Creek says, Loso is not a thing. Please don't talk like it's a thing. I understand your point, all right? I was living in that area when I watched it happen. But listen, there's a sign. I think it's an old gas station. It's an old 86 lumber sign. Is that what it is? You probably don't know. You've never lived down there. I think it might have been an old 86 lumber sign. They turned into a Loso sign down there.
You mean 76?
What did I say? 80? Oh, damn, I always do that. It's like when you 86 something, you get rid of it. That's why.
Come on. Unical 76, they represented NASCAR for years, man.
It's numbers, man. You know I screw up numbers sometimes. But the 76, I think somebody took an old 76 lumber sign and turned it into a Loso sign down there. So there's an official sign for Lower South End that goes by Loso. You can hate it if you want to. It's 84 lumber. Thank you. I can't remember numbers. 84 lumber. Good Lord.
So was it 84 or 76?
It was 84. You got me. See, this is what you do. When you start pressing me on numbers, then I panic and I get the numbers
okay,
even more wrong.
What color was it? What color?
The sign?
Yeah.
It's like an oval and it was blue and red.
Oh, that was 84 then.
Yeah, 84 lumber.
Yeah, because Unical 76 was blue and orange.
Yeah. Yeah, I got gas and wood mixed up, according to D2 Kicker. Somebody said 84 lumber, you numb nuts. Is that Red Foreman on the text line? That's phenomenal. All right, 704-570-9610. Aren't there some NFL defensive players who didn't live up to the hype? It's all offense being mentioned. Well, yeah, I mean, we mentioned Brian Bosworth earlier in the show. I mean, defense. Oh, okay, go ahead, Smoke. Do it. He stood
Everett
up.
Everett
Brown. He stood up and did the spin before he said it.
Also, someone earlier mentioned Aaron Curry, which was a good pull.
I'm sorry. People are still laughing at me for 84 lumber versus 76 the gas station. It's Friday, man. Leave me alone. All right, we'll come back. We didn't do this yet. The two-minute warning is coming to college football. You might not have heard about it, but the two-minute warning is also coming to college football. We'll talk about that, and we'll check in with Chip Patterson next. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
This is Nick Richards of the Charlotte Hornets. You're listening to Kyle Billy on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, the exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
Got me hot.
Sports Radio, 92.7 WFNZ. Checking in with Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com here in about 8 minutes. He's been doing some TV obligations, but for the second straight week, he'll join us later in the show, coming up in about 8 minutes. We had a texter a minute ago, and I understood his point. He said, hey, just jumped in the car at 5:05. Give me the topic of discussion. You're all over the place. Tar Heels, Panthers, Bobcats, Hornets, and it's fair. We've had a really good time today taking people's submissions for the all-time I can't believe he didn't make it list. Athletes who never lived up to the hype. That is the topic of discussion that folks have really run away with today on the text line. It's been a lot of fun. And some really good ones both way back when, but also recently. Jabril Peppers came in on the text line from an 864 number a couple of minutes ago. And that's such a, I mean, when was he drafted, Smoke? About 5 years ago? Is that right?
No, 2017.
Was it 7 years already?
Yeah. And I remember that draft class very well.
The thing was, he was such a productive player at Michigan, right? And was all over the field. But going into the draft, people both loved him because of what he did at Michigan and what they thought he might be able to do in the NFL, but there was also this simultaneous discussion of, well, he's a tweener. You know, where does he play? What's his position in the NFL? You know, can you use him the way they did at Michigan? And it turned out that the answer for pretty much every team that he's played for so far has kind of been no, right?
And that's a problem that a lot of tweeners face at that position area, you know, in the NFL. I mean, heck, Jeremy Chinn faced that same problem, and to a lesser degree. Like, I think Jeremy Chinn's had a better career than him, but there was a lot more hype surrounding Jabril Peppers. And whenever someone gets highly touted as a safety, especially as a big thumper type,
mm-hmm.
you know who you need to get compared to. Guys like Ed Reed and all that type of stuff, even though Ed Reed had the ball skills, that's what everyone wants it to be, is an Ed Reed type safety.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Matt, like many others, have sent in Lawrence Phillips, which is a name that I don't even know if the younger crowd will know or appreciate.
Ooh,
man,
that's a good one too.
It is for a lot of unfortunate reasons. He died back in January of 2016. Played at the University of Nebraska. For those that don't know, was truly, truly unbelievable in every conceivable way. Two-time national champion, All-American, All-Conference. I mean, just one of the great players in Nebraska history. Ended up with the Rams out of the draft in 1996, but just simply couldn't stay out of trouble. Ended up in jail and passed away again at the age of 40 in 2016.
Unfortunately, the best way to describe his career is if Dick Vermeil gives up on you, you were a bust.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, no doubt about it. T. Bizzle's been sending in several. He says Andre Wadsworth. Can you tell him a Knowles fan, KB? Yeah, he sent us Wadsworth, Peter Warwick, sent in Jaheim Bell as well. So, yeah, I can tell. Chris from Charlotte says LeVar Arrington, which is a really, really, really good one. Dude, people thought LeVar Arrington back then was going to be a Hall of Fame linebacker.
I didn't know the hype surrounding, because I know LeVar was a tremendous player.
Correct. And right. And still had, you know, decent runs, but like people thought LeVar Arrington was going to be a Hall of Fame linebacker. Trent Richardson from Alabama came in, from Redhead. I think that one fits the bill, Smoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that one fits the bill.
Remember how crazy people thought that Colts-Browns trade was? They thought both teams won. Both teams lost that trade.
They did. Oh, and speaking of Penn State, Courtney Brown, the linebacker at Penn State. Speaking of LeVar Arrington, I should say. Big expectations for those players out of Penn State. Just never really worked out. And as we're talking about running backs, troubled running backs who found trouble with the law, Maurice Clarett coming in. Although I have to say that there were people saying they didn't think that Maurice Clarett would make a great pro. I don't think that was viewed as a lock. I think that was more about the controversy of him wanting to get out of college early.
Yeah.
As good as he was.
I think now his stuff would not be as big as it was back in the early 2000s. I didn't really get the stuff back then. But I remember it was a big deal when he got drafted in the third round by the Broncos, especially considering how successful running backs were in Mike Shanahan's system and the fact that Mike Shanahan couldn't get him to work out. I think that's pretty damning of his pro potential. I'll actually mention someone else in that draft class. Two guys that both played at the same school. Eric Shelton. Stephon LaFleur's. Because remember...
Stephon LaFleur. Yeah, wow.
Remember, Jake was actually a fan. He wanted him to be the heir apparent, and that's before he found out he was related to Stephon.
That's right. He did find out he was related to Stephon LaFleur.
Yes, he was such a big fan, and then he found out along the way, oh, I'm actually related to this guy.
Ooh, before I take this phone call, here's another good one. Because I was on this train, too. You'll remember this. Amit said Darius Geis.
Oh, yes, that was your first big draft crush.
Darius Geis out of LSU. Yep, that would have been a disaster.
Yep.
And I got to raise my hand and say, man, I got that one dead wrong. I was so wrong about that one. Hurricane Mark is up next on the phone lines. What's up, Mark? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, KB?
Doing well, buddy.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. I didn't miss the hockey talk, did I?
No, but you can bring some if you'd like.
All right, I got two keys for you for the Canes doing well in the playoffs this season. One, Andre Svechnikov has got to stay out of the box. He has been just awful at taking stupid penalties at bad times. And on top of the fact, he's on the team for a reason, and that's to score goals, which he wasn't. Now, he got sat. Well, I take that back. He had an illness a couple games ago, and I will lay a large amount of money on the fact that Brendan Moore sat him out because he was doing nothing but taking penalties and not scoring goals. Two, the wins on the road. We've got to have wins on the road. In the past 2 years in the playoffs, they were, I believe, 3-11 on the road in the playoffs. As our friend Nick Wilson would say, not good, Bob.
All right.
But here's the other thing. Since February, they have been, I believe, 10-6 on the road. Much, much better. And I don't even count that last loss because we were on the road and nobody was playing. But those two things, I think the Hurricanes will do just fine this year.
All right. 5:00, the puck drops tomorrow, right?
Correct.
All right. I'll be there. And you bring me your best breakdown on Monday, Mark. How about that?
I'll be there, buddy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call. Hurricane Mark checking in with a Carolina Hurricanes New York Islanders preview. Puck drops tomorrow, game one of that series at 5:00. And I'll be tuned in, man. This is not a massive sports weekend, just in terms of a ton of stuff being on. So Hurricanes and Islanders tomorrow, 5:00. I am 100% in on that. There's no doubt about it. Let's see. Tar Heel Matt says, with all due respect, go Canes. Get off air, Mark. Come on, cut Mark some slack. Mark does give me a hard time a lot about not working more Canes in these days. And we are working on that, all right? There's been a lot of news the last couple of months, less so this week, but I'm hyped about the game tomorrow. I really am. Sha X wants to know, would Andrew Wiggins count? He's having a pretty good career, but did not live up to the hype of the number one overall pick. It's hard. It's a great submission because the man won a title. And he was kind of pivotal in them winning a title.
But his nickname coming out was Maple Leaf Jordan.
It's also a good point. No, it is. It's a good point. Send yours in. The submission we're looking for is your all-time greatest. I can't believe he didn't make it. Athletes who never lived up to the hype. That's the question. 704-570-9610. Heath Shuler coming in. What else do we have? Reuben Foster, Greg Oden, who I mentioned earlier in the show. Marcus Dupree came in. Tyler Hansbrough, Manti Te'o, Cadillac Williams, Willis McGahee. But the thing about McGahee and Lattimore is those were almost exclusively injury things, right?
Yeah, and well, Willis still had a great career even after that injury.
He did. But I think they would have been different players were it not for the injury. So I don't know that I can look at those guys in the same light. But I do appreciate the submissions. Let's bring in Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports Network, and the Cover 3 pod. He's with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Chip Patterson, how you been?
I'm in good, KB. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have anybody come to mind for you, like all-time great, I can't believe he didn't make it, athletes who never lived up to the hype? Anybody jump off the page?
Yeah, so like when I heard you going through that list, I was actually thinking about one of my biggest misses. I swore that the electric playmaking I saw from Johnny Manziel was going to be able to translate, you know, hype be damned, that this would be a player who could be able to, you know, take some of the same ways that he was, you know, like literally a defense full of future pros for that Alabama Crimson Tide defense in both 2012 and 2013, like all like pro bowlers all over the place. I mean, he had them in fits. He had Nick Saban in fits. And so, you know, we've come to find out, you know, through extensive reporting and the way the story is told, that Johnny Manziel's lack of success at the next level might have been a little bit, you know, Johnny Manziel and company related. But when you were just going through that, I was sitting there on the table, you know, fighting the no, Johnny Manziel is worth it. I wasn't the man who, you know, gave Jimmy Haslam the recommendation to do it, sitting on the side of the road. But that was one that comes to mind when you think about, you know, I was beating the table. I said, listen, I know what I see. I understand the measurables. But this guy can just go out there and make some football plays. But, you know, as we know now, never really panned out.
No doubt about it. All right, let's talk a little college football here for a second. The two-minute warning is coming to college football, apparently, Chip. I've been looking and kind of scanning the reaction to it online to see what people think, and I have seen some griping about, oh, man, college football games are long enough as it is. But I don't really think that's a concern here, and I kind of like the two-minute warning being added to college football. But what do you think?
So we've shaved 7 to 8 plays off of, with the clock rules. Sorry, to back it up. So this past year, in case you weren't aware, you know, we changed the clock rules so that when you get a first down, the clock doesn't stop. Clock keeps rolling. And so they still were stopping the clock on first downs inside of 2 minutes. So to me, the 2 minute warning is really a nice chance to reset all of the rules. Just to, you know, if we're going to have different clock rules, you know, before the 2 minute warning and then after the 2 minute warning, but the 2 minute warning doesn't exist basically where we were only in the last 2 minutes of the second quarter and the fourth quarter. So now to me, it is going to serve in the rhythm and the flow of a football game. All right, we're going to stop. The rules are about to change. And now we're going to go into crunch time rules, which is the clock does down, you know, and so it's a nice reset in terms of the flow of the game. But if I was to ask why it was passed, you know, there was a lot of, you know, some coach complaints about the adjustments to the clock rules. I know that, you know, media rights holders are not going to complain about having another commercial break to sell. So there's plenty of cynical analysis here. But as someone who looks for the best in college football often, you know, I'm going to think about this 2 minute warning as a chance to say, all right, we basically had, you know, running clock except for incomplete passes and out of bounds. Now we're going to go to a new set of circumstances, which as a team, you know, if you're the team trying to overcome a deficit, if you're the team trying to storm back and do something special on a Saturday in the fall, then that will be the moment that you sort of change your game plan.
All right. Anything on this helmet technology stuff strike you as interesting? For me, it's just simply the fact that college football is finally arriving at a place that the NFL and high school football has been for about 3 decades. Anything interesting about this?
Yeah, we've heard some feedback from coaches in terms of just being, you know, already trying to put the practice in place and already trying to understand, you know, the communication plan, you know. And so it'll be something that I do think will have some hiccups. But like you said, it at least gets us to a place where, you know, the technology is already has always been there, but now we're not going to have to worry about all of the sign-stealing paranoia as much that we've got the helmet technology.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Now, how about this story out of Memphis, which we haven't gotten yet to yet today, but it's a big one, man. FedEx, yes, that FedEx is funding $25 million for Memphis NIL over the next 5 years in what is believed to be the largest corporate partnership with athletes at the collegiate level. I mean, this is the definition of a game changer, isn't it?
Yeah, and do you know what it gets us to? It gets us one step closer to that private investment
yes.
that we've been hearing about.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
We've been hearing about it. It's on the Florida State side where, you know, we've got reporting that they are at least have been exploratory talks with between the, you know, Florida State Athletic Department and its power brokers and, you know, private investment firms. And so, you know, FedEx dropping 25 mil on NIL is one thing, but it does feel like that is the, you know, we are getting closer and closer to that world where it's not just like corporate investment in college athletics, but private equity as well. That will come with a lot of money. That will come with some different decision-making and different priorities that I think is all important to weigh if you are in the position to decide whether or not you want to get in bed with these groups. But for Memphis, FedEx and Memphis, that is a natural partnership that's not going to raise any alarm bells for me. It's a good thing for the Tigers because as we look at the consolidation in college sports, Memphis is one of those schools that is currently on the outside looking in, but if you were to have some sort of big breakaway, you would say, all right, so which schools, which athletic departments are interested in playing with the big boys? You know, it used to be you'd say SMU, and clearly SMU is, since they're going to do 9 years of no media rights payments, all funded by their boosters. Well, SMU's an ACC member now. Memphis is the next up. Memphis is the group where a team where you know that there's enough support around that university to want to be at the highest level, even though they are not currently in the American Athletic Conference. So, yeah, I think it's a great sign for Tigers football and for Memphis athletics in general.
Speaking of Memphis, John Calipari's old outfit, now he's at Arkansas, and he's partnering up with some big money down there, Tyson and the Walton family, and Mark Pope is now at Kentucky. When we look up 5 years from now, who will be more successful, Mark Pope at Kentucky or Coach Cal at Arkansas?
How do we define success?
I'll let you do it.
Okay. I think that what will be startling for just me, somebody who's on the outside looking at Kentucky basketball, I think that Mark Pope's brand of basketball, you know, which is very, you know, offense forward, shoot a lot of threes, like very much into the analytics, very much into, you know, playing in a way where we're going to be high scoring. I tell you what, that's exactly what Kentucky basketball looked like this year, right? I mean, they could score with anybody. They just couldn't play any defense. And so I think that the team might be the same. I mean, Mark Pope has zero NCAA tournament wins. The frustration with John Calipari coming down the stretch has been the fact that they did not make deep runs in the NCAA tournament. And it was with these teams that were gifted offensively, but, you know, they run into that small school that plays a little bit of a unique type of defense. They couldn't run their offense in the same way. And I don't know stylistically what changes with Mark Pope. But, man, the vibes are just so different. I really feel like Mark Pope could have literally less success than John Calipari. Mark Pope could have less wins, go not as far in the NCAA tournament, and yet still be better regarded than Coach Cal has been over the last couple of seasons. And that's what makes those nostalgia hires so interesting, is that I think, to answer your question, which, you know, good analysts should be doing, I think John Calipari will have more success. I don't think it'll feel that way because Mark Pope is a little bit of a different type of coaching hire where you're really just wanted more than anything, not John Calipari anymore.
All right. The sound in the background sounds like what my life will be in about an hour. So I don't want to keep you too much longer. Duke has already lost 7 players to the portal. On top of that, Kyle Filipowski, Jared McCain declaring for the NBA draft. Like you see all these players entering the portal. To me, it's both the sign of the times, but also when you look at what Duke's coming in, they had to make some room on the roster here, right? Make sense of all this for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, somebody in the work Yeah, I know. Mama's home. Somebody in the college basketball workroom on CBSSports.com put it in a great way earlier where they were like, oh, so you're telling me that someone is willing to, you know, pursue millions of dollars to not have to fight for shots and minutes with Cooper Flagg. Okay. You know, I mean, we're talking about a generational prospect, and a lot of what Duke does is going to be run through him and, you know, with him at the center of all of it. So I totally understand any member of that roster that wants to be able to capitalize on the opportunity, both financially, but also when it comes to playing time and attention and everything else, because, I mean, we know what this looks like, man. We are only currently 5 years removed from the Zion experience. I think we are going to have a Zion-like experience in Durham. He is going to be a singular figure that is going to take up so much oxygen that if you remember that program and you decide you don't want to be there for the ride, I totally get it.
Love it. Chip Patterson, well done. You're off the clock. Go be dad. Go spend some family time. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, sounds good. Y'all be well.
Thank you, brother. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, with us on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline, 704-570-9610. Hit us up on the text line, the FanDuel text line, that is. Right now we go to Smoke on the headlines.
All right, Kyle. Just wanted to make this point out here before we end our show. This weekend, Charlotte FC will be having their match on FS1.
Yep.
But it is also available without subscription on Apple TV this Sunday. So that means you can watch and listen to Willie P. Style, Will Polacek, yep, and Jess Charman on the broadcast by selecting the home radio option if you want to watch it on Apple TV.
Cheerio, 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 boys. If Willie P. does not hit us with a forget about it. If Liel Abada scores a goal on Saturday, I'm going to be very disappointed. Sunday, sorry.
Yeah, I finally got it right.
You got it right. You did. I mean, the Abada bing, Abada boom stuff is great. I like it. But we took submissions for his new goal calls earlier this week when Liel Abada scores. And my favorite so far is forget Abada. He's got to do it. At least once he's got to do it. What else you got?
All right. Well, it's the week after the Masters, so that means the PGA Tour is going to Hilton Head, South Carolina for the RBC Heritage Tournament. And so far, we got a four-way tie through two rounds. Tied for first is Colin Morikawa, Sepp Straka, Tom Hoagie, and Hickory's own JT Poston.
Yes. 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 Is that it?
Actually, do have one more thing. Unfortunate news, but a big figure when we talk about draft season is Bill Tobin, the former GM of the Indianapolis Colts, went to the Bengals. He passed away today at the age of 33. He's the father of Duke Tobin, who's currently the executive for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who he is, he infamously said nearly 30 years ago to this day, he asked a question to Chris Mortensen, who the hell is Mel Kiper anyway?
That's the guy.
When Mel Kiper ripped the Colts organization for not drafting Trent Dilfer.
Wow. All right, we'll come back. My dad is back. Randy's with us for his Bailey Betts picks to end the weekend. We'll send you off to yours as well. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Returns to action this Sunday to take on Minnesota United. Pre-game show starts at 5:30 p.m. and you can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
One final time. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, the best damn sports talk in the Carolinas, where we didn't get to one thing today, Smoke. I sent this to you last night. I don't even know if you pulled it today, and that's okay because we've had so much fun otherwise. But I got a text from Leo Mazzoni yesterday at about 6:30, and he said, tell Smoke to pull everything Justin Verlander just said about pitching for next week's interview. So I sent it to you on Twitter last night. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
The reason I sent that to you is because Leo Mazzoni has told me you must have this ready for him next week in his appearance.
It's 4 minutes, so we can't play all 4 minutes.
I know, but now you have basically a week to figure out which of the 4 minutes you want to bring into the discussion where Justin Verlander broke down everything wrong with modern pitching and why guys are getting injured and how they're doing it all wrong and how they need to fix it at the major league level for it to bleed down to the little leagues and, well, from to college to high school to little league baseball. It was awesome audio. I mean, a great, great answer from Justin Verlander. So Leo Mazzoni told me to tell you, you must have that ready on Wednesday. All right. I don't know if my dad's heard it yet, but my dad is on the phone lines on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Randy's back with his picks for the weekend, and, well, we look forward to these. Dad, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just sitting here stewing a little bit. I got a little bit of a pet pick with one of your listeners.
Why? Who? Who?
Well, I don't know his name, but let me tell you something, guys. Kyle Bailey was force-fed Southern Rock from the time he could sit in a car seat.
He's not lying.
So don't question whether he knows 38 Special, Outlaws, Blackfoot. The boy has been singing his entire life. He knows more music than probably most of us all put together.
I don't know about all. I don't know about all that, but the Southern Rock indoctrination is real. I was actually. I'm glad you're as offended as I was, because Smoke told me, he said, some guy just challenged you to name 338 Special songs, and I just started laughing hysterically. I was like, I can name their whole first album. So anyway, I appreciate you instilling that in me. All right, speaking of Outlaws, let's talk a little racing on Sunday. They're in Talladega. Chase just got a win. I think you called that last week, didn't you?
No, but I told you about 3 weeks ago that he was running better every week and that it was just a matter of time before he won a race. And I didn't pick him this week, but I wouldn't be a bit shocked if he doesn't win this race on Sunday if it doesn't rain.
So who do you like?
I got two Fords finished first and second. I got Chris Buescher winning it, and I got Ryan Blaney finishing second.
Oh, Smoke's celebrating. He loves that.
I also picked Chris Buescher to win, too.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
Y'all might want to hop on FanDuel or something.
Chris Buescher's always been a good super speedway racer, and I feel like this is the week where Ford's finally going to get a win. If they don't, I don't know when they're going to get a win.
You said Chris Buescher and who? What's the order again?
Buescher, then Blaney.
Buescher, then Blaney. Okay. So, all right. So Chris Buescher, Ryan Blaney, 1-2.
Two guys that have always been good at Talladega.
At Talladega on Sunday. So if you're still, and a lot of people are, obviously, given the money we know that's being wagered every week. Chris Buescher, Ryan Blaney, 1-2 Sunday at Talladega. All right. Am I right to assume you got baseball picks for the weekend?
Yeah, I got a couple. I got Kansas City, which I'm really happy for Kansas City. They picked up a bunch of people in the offseason, and I got them beating the Orioles tonight. Russ will be mad about that.
Oh, wait, he cut out. You said you're cutting out pretty bad. You said Kansas City over the Orioles?
Yeah, Kansas City over the Orioles tonight, 6-5.
Okay.
And I got the Dodgers beating the Mets 7-3.
Ooh, Fitty and Flounder and Willie won't like that. 7-3 Dodgers over the Mets, Royals over the Orioles. Are those your only two picks for the night?
Well, I got my division winners, but we can save them for later. But I do have just two more quick things.
Okay.
You talked about the most disappointing players not to make it in professional sports. Probably the top three college player of all time, Ralph Sampson. Bad knees kept him from being probably one of the greatest players in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. And I just got a little Mount Rushmore for you here.
Sure.
My favorite, top four Southern rock bands of all time. Of course, number one is Skinner. Number two is Rossington Collins. A lot of people may not recognize that, but that was after they got back together after the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
That was with the leftover members. And number three, 38 Special, and number four, Marshall Tucker. Shout out to the Allman Brothers, but they weren't in my top five.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know. I knew Skinner and Marshall Tucker would be there. I didn't see Rossington Collins coming, but that one makes sense. All right. All right. Dad, well done. I appreciate you having my back. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Kiss the babies.
Will do. Dad, there you go. Dad came in. He had my back. He made his picks. Royals over the Orioles. Dodgers over the Mets. Chris Buescher, Ryan Blaney, 1-2 at Talladega on Sunday.
Yeah, the Royals have actually, they've got something cooking. I don't know what it is, how good it is exactly, but this is the best they've been since that 2015 squad.
All right, let's tip our caps and get out of here, Smokey. What you got?
Tip my cap to listeners. A lot of great submissions for the guys that you thought were going to be big deals that turned out not to be. So I really enjoyed going down memory lane. We got a Sebastian Telfair reference, too.
Hell yeah, we did. I'm going to tip my cap to the listeners all week long. The text line's been as good as it's ever been this week, which is crazy given the time in the sports calendar that we're in. But the listeners, the Charlotte audience, the audience across the country on the stream, you brought it this week. We appreciate you. We love you. We couldn't do it without you. And we'll talk to you on Monday. When we come back on Monday, it's draft week, y'all. And we'll be knee-deep in it come Monday afternoon. But until then, for Smoke Ludwig, I'm Kyle Bailey. This is Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
You're going to be dead in 100 years anyway. Live dangerously.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.